Hi, this is Reading with Roxanne, and I'm here on behalf of Bookstore One in Sarasota, which is located at 12 South Palm Avenue in Sarasota, Florida. Tonight I'm going to be doing a Zoom book club. It's the Mindfulness Book Club, and we're talking about The Gifts of Imperfection by Brené Brown. And I'm going to ask the participants permission to record and upload this. And I'm hoping a really nice lady listens by the name of Barbara, who stopped into the store Saturday, and she was buying a gift for her doctor, a very sweet lady, who wanted to know about poetry book clubs, but she wanted to know more about classes, like how to write poems. But I did want to advertise a poetry event we have coming up on Zoom. It's October 14th, and it's a poetry book club, and they're going to look at and discuss the Black Mountain poems edited by Jonathan Creasy. And you can register for this at sarasotabooks.com. And a very nice gentleman named Doug Knowlton, who is one of our stellar and oldest members of the bookstore staff, not old in dog years, but old as far as he's very knowledgeable and experienced. Anyway, he's running and hosting that. So today, again, I'm going to pause this briefly and ask permission, and hopefully they'll say okay, and we'll be recording some of this Zoom meeting, and hopefully Barbara will hear this and think, I can do Zoom, because she was sort of hesitant when I explained Zoom. So, and like I said, if I can do it, and I'm pretty much a techno dummy, anyone can do it. Welcome to the Mindfulness Book Club. We're going to talk about the gifts of imperfection. And I don't know, Bob, if you saw my book review on this, but I did thank you personally. Bob actually helped me pick out this book because he participated in the last two sessions, so that was nice. And what a great, great book. I mean, obviously, that's what we're here to talk about. I just wondered, of the two of you, had you had Brené Brown experience before, or was this your first introduction to her as an author?
This was my first introduction as an author, but I have seen her TED Talks.
Okay.
I think I've seen two different ones. One, of course, is one of the most famous ones, which is the one on vulnerability, which I think has been viewed 3 million times or something. But this was the first book that I read of hers.
Mm-hmm. Good. And Bob, you obviously knew her from before.
They're all my theme. They tend to go around and around. I forgot about the TED Talk, and also I signed up for podcasts. She's doing podcasts. She's going to be on Spotify starting October or something or other. And she's had it on some other platform. I never did it. So anyway, whenever she starts on Spotify, I'll be there and see what.
Yeah, I'm interested in that too. I signed up for her newsletter or whatever. So, yeah. All right. Well, let's get into it. I'll ask what you want to talk about first, but I have four pages of notes, so I'll let you guys. I don't know. What do you want to start with? You want to talk about epiphanies you may have had or things that struck you? Take turns.
Ladies first.
Well, I enjoyed how she continue to tell stories and sort of illustrate how she doesn't really fit into a particular box anytime, ever, okay? And, in other words, given definitions of things, she always was willing to kind of go outside that and see how it related to her story, which I think is a really... I like that about the book. I liked, her honesty of this didn't really work for me, but this did. But mm-hmm. Here's what I learned from this, but here's what I decided not to keep from it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a good model for people as they are reading a book like this, because I think that if anybody is struggling to, figure out who they are and how to get to their most authentic self and be validated, you know, the self-validating, you know, for this is who I am, I'm not going to apologize, I'm going to try to be who I am. I think she provides a really good model for that. And so I appreciated, you know, her sort of open-heartedness and honesty about her journey. I found myself agreeing with her at times and disagreeing with her at times in terms of practice. Okay, because I feel like sometimes there's a bit of a prescriptive practice that always is in self-help books. Okay, it's sort of one of those things that sometimes you have to be careful of, because so many people can glom onto that, and that's actually not what you want them to do. You know, you want them to be a little bit more individual about their practice and about how this might apply to them. So, so anyway, I just thought, you know, there was some, she got a little bit sometimes into the prescriptive stuff, mm-hmm. which I thought, oh gosh, you know, you're doing so well, so like, don't do that. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? And then at other times, I just felt like she was really real. I think she was most real when she was telling her story or other people's stories.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of my 10-cent version, you know.
Okay. Bob, what about you?
I read this book several years ago when I was going through a very difficult time. I read a lot of self-help books, introspective-type books at the time. And I must admit that this put me down a little bit. You know, it reminded me of things that I went through in the past, you know, description of things, and it kind of like, oh, geez, wrote things kind of melancholy. I tend to slip into melancholy pretty easily to brought things back. But, I mean, I think it's a very good book.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, my present wife, my big problem was my wife died several years ago, long illness. My present wife, when we first met, she was describing a few things to me and bothering her. So I said, I gave her this book. And the next time I saw her, she said, my God, how did you know? I mean, that's me. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, when she says, you know, I'm trying to be perfect, I'm the perfect mother, the perfect this, the perfect that, you know, and that's, you know, a lot of us try to do that. You know, anyway, getting away from that's a good thing.
Yeah. I like the, there are several things I learned about myself. I mean, even though I have a master's in counseling, I'm not perfect by any stretch, right? You think because you've studied it, you know it. And she actually claims that at the very beginning of the book, that she thought she had it all down. And then she's like, wait a minute. Some of these things remind me of me on the don't list, right? And so I was struck by some things I realized, especially the chapter on play. Like, and I think it's our society, too. We've become so serious. You know, we're just so serious about everything that we've lost some of that ability to just relax and just let go of the everyday concerns and just have fun. And I miss doing that. And I have to, like, you know, she says, do it. I mean, like, you know, dance every day or watch comedy every day. And I think I wish I didn't feel alone in wanting to do that. Like, I wish there were places to go. Like, and obviously with COVID, it's difficult. But I remember back in the 80s going out dancing a lot, and people went and did that. And again, I don't think it's just the pandemic. I think even before that, I don't really see a lot of, I don't see as much of that happening as in the old days. And in fact, I enjoyed it. I just started watching that Dr. Stuart Brown was somebody she cited, and I started watching a TED Talk he did on play, and he actually shows the very first slide is a courtyard from like the Middle Ages, and you know, it's all these pictures of people playing, like people playing music, people playing games. I think people, even in hard times in the past, had that sense of balance, maybe, or because their lives are so rough, they definitely had to play, sort of that work hard, play hard thing. So, I don't know, that struck me.
I used to think of the two things that I don't do, I gained a lot from this many years ago. The two things I'm not good at is, one is dancing. Like I said, okay, I'm going to play golf. Okay, that's not really spontaneous. I mean, spontaneous is just sort of, it happens, okay? I mean, you jump in and do it. You know, the golf is planned, you know, and you try. I get upset when I don't play well. That's, that's, not, that, right. That's not what it's supposed to be about.
Right.
I really, it's not, I mean, that's not there.
Yeah. That's a good point, too, that even sometimes when we play, we get competitive, and then it takes the play out of it, right?
Right. So. If there's too many rules, I mean, the definition of play, really, in her in what she's talking about is the spontaneity.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's like going with the flow of expression, whether it's, you know, even just playing a, you know, game of catch, you know, out in the yard, or going dancing, or... you know, having some fun with your friends, just goofing around or whatever. But I think that is part of what we've lost in COVID is that spontaneity.
Mm-hmm.
Because now everything really kind of has to be planned. You kind of have to think through the steps, and it has taken a lot out of that play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just really spontaneously say, hey, let's get together and go hear some music tonight. Or let's get together and you know, have a ball game in the park or whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
What chapters resonated with either of you two? Like, was there a specific chapter that you were like, oh, yes, I needed to read this, or this was good for me?
Remind myself of chapters ours.
Yeah.
Well, getting rid of authenticity, or cultivating authenticity. I mean, I hadn't forgotten that. That's definitely a problem with an awful lot of us.
Yeah.
Keep on leading from one book to another. I read the Second Mountain by David Brooks.
Okay.
I read that. First Mountain is when you're very goal-oriented, you know, and you're trying to be perfect. You have to be good at your job. You got to make money, blah, blah, blah. And the Second Mountain, you can be a little more authentic and do things you want to do, or people you want to do. So just... it reminds me of that a lot.
Oh, okay. I hadn't read that book. That sounds interesting, though. I remember seeing it at the store.
Yeah. I want to read it, too, actually. That was one thing that it was on my list that somehow got lost in the pile of lists. You know? but I read his column on it, and it was really powerful, and I thought, I'm going to read that book when it comes out. And so... I think my favorite may have been Cultivating Laughter, Song, and Dance.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I think that's, you know, just so critical. And I think that if you do that, you automatically kind of get to things like gratitude and joy and a lot of the things that she also talks about in previous chapters.
Mm-hmm.
So... I think sometimes, you know, the prescription sometimes felt like, okay, first I got to do this, then I got to do this, and then I can get to this. Whereas really, it's more integrated than that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's just more mixed.
Right.
And I think that she would agree with that. Mm-hmm. I think that's just sometimes I think, I don't know. Sometimes I think she needs a better editor, to be honest. I mean, I really do. I really do. I mean, she's got a lot to say, and she, you know, has a way that's really charming, which is especially why I like hearing her speak. So, you know what I mean? Sometimes I think editors like things, like, really very sequential.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes a book like this maybe would be, I think, more powerful that wasn't so sequential. I don't know. I'm not sure. Like, I can't quite get my finger on why I feel that way. But
yeah, I can see your point. I'm glad you mentioned.